I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hey everybody, welcome into a new episode of The Memo for this Wednesday, the last day of May, the 31st of May. I'm your host, Brad Locke. It is the last day of May. No, it's fine.
Before you introduce me.
It's okay, Lauren. That's Lauren Wood. She's filling in today because
hey,
Derek.
Everyone. Long time no see. Well,
yeah, it has
long
been
long time no here.
It's been a while, I guess. You've been on as a guest. You haven't co-hosted in a while.
No, I haven't. You guys don't like me anymore.
So. No, we do. Believe me, I'd rather much rather have you here than Derek. I hope Derek doesn't listen to this.
Derek's enjoying Chicago right now.
Yeah, he's probably not going to listen to this episode. He's in Chicago having too much fun.
Yeah.
Going to see the Cubs. Also gone is Chris Kiefer, our producer.
Uh-huh.
He's, I guess he's in San Francisco right now.
He is on a two-week, like...
2 weeks.
Coastal vacation out in, like, Cali.
Yeah.
Or somewhere.
He's going to see the Giants play. He's a big Giants fan.
Huge Giants fan.
So he and Derek are both gone. I'm not even sure how this show is happening
right now.
I'm not sure if the show is even on, if anyone can hear it.
Well, that's why I'm here.
Because I'm left in charge of trying to do it here.
Somebody left you in charge?
Yeah, it's dangerous. I got left in charge of a baseball team last night.
Oh, gosh.
My son's head coach was out of town, so I had to fill in as the head coach. We lost.
Whoops.
I'll take the blame, I guess. Although the other team was pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm 0-1 as a head coach.
You were kind of like the, just like, make sure they function. Don't, you know, do any... You know, thing above and beyond. You just like make sure.
I feel that a lineup
goes. Yeah, the lineup goes well.
No, everybody batted in order. Nobody got hurt.
There you go. That's all you really need.
I made a pitching change.
Oh.
That was uneventful, which was good. Everything went right from that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
No. So coach is coming back this week. Thank goodness. I'm a better assistant coach.
Yes.
Much better.
Yep.
Standing over there at first base, mm-hmm. telling kids to run or not.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just me and Lauren. Friday's episode, I don't know, it'll be me and somebody.
Yeah.
You could come back.
Maybe I'll get
Scott Morris. I'm sure he'd love to. We'll see.
Up to you.
So today will be a bit of an abbreviated episode. We're just going to have Bobby Harrison on from Jackson, our Capitol Bureau Chief, talk about the upcoming special session that starts on Monday. And we're going to have somebody y'all haven't heard before, Caitlin O'Doherty, our intern.
Uh-huh.
She's going to make her debut on The Memo. So Caitlin's from Ohio.
She is, yeah.
Ohio. Easy for me to say.
I'm not going to share my thoughts on Ohio right now. But.
Well, you're from Michigan, so. But you're not a Michigan fan, so you don't have that much hate for Ohio State, do you?
Well, I think the good thing is that I can bond with people from Ohio because we both hate the same football team.
True.
So it's like a mutual, like, oh, I don't like them either. You know, so we bond over that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So we'll have Caitlin on to talk about this addiction recovery center that's had a ribbon cutting in Oxford. Pretty cool story there. And like I said, it's kind of a shorter than usual episode because, you know, I'm trying to carry this thing for Derek and Chris. Maggie Bushway is actually going to be helping out producing it, putting it together after hopefully... I won't make it too difficult for her to piece it all together for y'all. Let's get the show started. Let's go down to Jackson and welcome in Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison. How you doing, Bobby?
Hey, Brad. How you doing?
Not too bad, sir. Thanks for joining us for a few minutes. I guess we'll look ahead, Bobby. We've got the legislature reconvening next week. We've got the special session coming up. Starts Monday. And been a lot of talk about what might or might not be included on the agenda, Bobby. And while we haven't seen an official agenda just yet, looks like they're going to keep things pretty basic, aren't they?
It appears that way. It appears they're going to do the three budget bills they didn't do in the regular session, the Attorney General's Office, the Transportation, and the State Aid Rate Road Program, and maybe a couple other things, but I think the hope is they can get out in a couple of days. But it's always, you know, just a little side note, Brad, normally when they have a special session where they want to make it real quick, they schedule it for Thursday or Friday. So it'll be bumping up against the weekend.
Hmm.
But this time they're scheduled for Monday. I don't know if that was, hopefully that wasn't intentional.
Yeah. Hopefully it won't drag on, Bobby. I mean, there had been talk of maybe getting a little more money for transportation funding, been talk of trying to pass maybe some kind of lottery bill or something. And then you've got the whole education rewrite issue. Basically, Bobby, I think it comes down to pretty much on all three of those issues, they just need more time, don't they?
They they need more time and they need the consensus. That's the main thing. They, you know, they just don't have the votes to do any of those things. Maybe if there was a straight lottery bill on the introduce during a special session, the governor included that in the call agenda, if you will, that would pass. But those other things, I mean, it's generally agreed that there's not a consensus on how to generate money for roads and bridges, and there's not a consensus on a free ride to be funded formal for the to provide money to local school districts, to provide state money to local school districts.
Yeah, and speaking of the lottery, real quick, I mean, they just formed the lottery committee just earlier this month. House Speaker Philip Gunn formed it, and, you know, we know his stance on the lottery, and his opinion was that once they gather info, that they'll find that the lottery won't really be that big of a benefit to the state. But the lottery committee members have said that they're going to gather all the facts, all the info. They're going to travel to neighboring states that have the lottery, like Arkansas and Tennessee. And pretty much they're not going to take a stance, Bobby. They're just on a fact-gathering mission, aren't they?
That's right. They're not going to. I mean, the way they described it, they wouldn't make a recommendation whether the state should or shouldn't have a lottery, but they're just going to gather the information and compile it in a report and present it to the legislature. And presumably maybe next session, next regular session in 2018, that recommendation might be used for up or down vote on the issue. But we just have to see if the lottery bill actually gets to the floor of the House or Senate.
You know, if I found it.
Even though there seems to be a lot of momentum for it right now, Brad.
Yeah, there is. You know, this little bit of trivia I have always found kind of interesting. I think it was 1992, Bobby, where they removed. They amended the state constitution to where a lottery, you know, bill could be passed. It used to be, you know, they couldn't even. There was a law against it, but ever since then, you know, not really anything has happened until recently. And all of a sudden, it's just like boom! It's just suddenly catching steam.
Yeah, right. And you know, there was actually a constitutional prohibition against on the lottery in the Mississippi Constitution in '92. It was removed by the voters. The legislature passed a resolution by 2/3 votes in both chambers to put it before the voters, and the voters statewide opted to remove that prohibition. And a lot of people thought that was done. It would be only a matter, you know, you're living through that time. A lot of people thought it would be only a matter a year or two before the legislature put a lottery into law. So after the prohibition was removed. But it never happened, and I think a couple of things happened, Brad. I mean, there are still legislators who were against it, and a lot of those legislators said, well, the state voted, statewide the vote was for the lottery, but my district voted against the lottery, so I'm going to vote the will of my district. So that was one thing. And then the other thing was, about that time, the casino industry just skyrocketed from zero to 60 in a matter of a couple of years in Mississippi. So the lottery kind of got put on the back burner, and it just has been that way ever since.
Yeah, I think this is something we'll just see taken up in the 2018 session, along with the education funding rewrite, Bobby, which, you know, they hired Ed Build last fall to look into this. Nothing got done during the regular session like they had initially hoped. And now at this point, Bobby, again, it's something they're just going to have to be better served to wait until 2018. Although even then, they might not even have the votes anyway.
Yeah, right. They hired Ed Build in October of last year. That's a New Jersey-based education consulting outfit. They hired them in October with the Speaker Philip Gunn and Lieutenant Governor Tate Reeves did with the proclamation that they were going to, you know, take the Ed Build recommendations and incorporate them into a bill and pass it during the 2017 regular session. They weren't able to do that. Ed Build came with a recommendation, but there just never was consensus in the legislature on how to carry those recommendations out, or whether even they wanted to carry those recommendations out. And then Reese said, well, there's no big hurry. We're doing a special session, and now it's as though it's going to be pushed back into the 2018 regular session. And as you said, there's a lot of thought in the Capitol that this is never going to get done, that there's too much support for the
Yeah, well, again, the special session starts Monday. I expect it probably just to last 2, maybe 3 days as they try to pass these budgets for the Department of Transportation, the State Aid Road Program, and the Office for the Attorney General. But whatever transpires, Bobby will be there to provide full coverage. You can find it in the Daily Journal, also at djournal.com. You can follow Bobby on Twitter @BobbyHarrison9. Also, be sure to check out the webcast I do with Bobby each week, Capital View, coming to you normally each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Watch it live or catch the replay later in the day. We actually recorded on Tuesday this week because of the Memorial Day holiday, and we talked a lot about the upcoming special session, the lottery, and whatnot. So check out the replay there at djournal.com as Bobby gives us a perspective about all the news coming out of the state capitol. Bobby, always a pleasure. Appreciate you joining us.
Enjoy it.
Yes, sir. See you next time. Okay, here's her debut on the memo. It's Caitlin O'Doherty. Did I say that right,
yes,
Caitlin?
Yes, you did. Correct.
Okay, good. Caitlin, welcome in. Caitlin is our intern for this summer, editor of The Reflector at Mississippi State University. How's that job? I never was editor of a student paper. That's got to be pretty time-consuming.
It was. It was a lot of fun, though. Miss Frances McDavid, which I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with, kind of led us through there, so she led the troops, but it was a fun time over there. So,
well, Caitlin, like I said, you're what, in your third or fourth week here with us?
Yes, third week.
Yeah, you started earlier this month. Just covering whatever we toss on her plate. She's covered a variety of things. Now she's having to fill in because Emma Kent's out as well. Everybody's taking vacation at once. It's ridiculous. But the story I want to talk about today is the Stonewater Recovery Center over in Oxford. You had a story on it in Wednesday's Journal. Also, you can find it at djournal.com. It's called the Stonewater Adolescent Recovery Center. So the target demographic here is obviously young people who have had issues with drug addiction. It was founded by the Fikes family, Margaret and Jeff Fikes. And tell us a little bit about their background with that and why they decided to start this.
Well, the Fikes, their son, Brian Fikes, who's now the CEO of the Recovery Center, 13 years ago, they found out he was struggling with some addiction problems. And according to his sister, Elizabeth Fikes, mm-hmm. it wasn't just, you know, like the typical marijuana use. It was he had to use hard drugs every day to get through the day. And so after realizing there weren't many options for adolescent recovery centers, they had to go pretty far out of their way to get him some recovery. And so they opened the center to try to help solve that problem here.
And they make a point to say that this is not an institution, right? What's kind of the how would you describe this recovery center?
Well, as they describe it, and I think it's very true, it's more of a home. Both of the centers are very homey, beautifully decorated. You definitely don't feel like you're walking into a clinic setting.
Right. And the people they tend to focus on, they have two separate homes, right? One's for people to stay there on the campus or whatever you want to call it. Males between 12 and 17, right?
Right.
And they stay there for 90 days?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
And the other one is for, I haven't heard of this before, I guess, with addiction recovery. It's kind of an outpatient thing, isn't it? How does that work?
It's an outpatient program. That's for boys and girls. And they have the choice to either do 3 hours a day for 3 days a week or 5 hours a day for 5 hours a week. So they can kind of come in and out while continuing to go to school or work or do whatever they're doing throughout the day.
Well, obviously the main goal is to help these kids, but also they're kind of looking to go beyond that, aren't they? Just, you know, because there's a whole stigma around talking about drug addiction.
Right. Yeah, they're trying to really make these people go back into their communities with their story. And as Brian Fikes had said, you know, it's not really a recovery until you're able to take what you learned back into the community. If you never touch another drug in your life, that's great, but you want to be able to bring something else back into your community and have a more positive outlook on it.
You know, you think of addiction recovery and all that, you think of 12 steps and whatnot. I don't know exactly what their program looks like, but apparently they do kind of tailor it to each individual's needs, don't they?
Right, yeah. They completely, even with schooling, they'll kind of cater that to wherever the child is at throughout their learning path.
One neat thing about it is you mentioned Brian, he works there, his sister, Elizabeth, I mean, the family runs it. So they've had experience with this. I mean, you go in there and you're talking to people who've kind of gone through it, right?
Right, exactly. And a lot of the people that work there have also struggled with addiction. And so they kind of have that firsthand experience when working with all of the patients.
You know, these kids going through this while they're going through school, I mean, how do they kind of make sure the kids are staying on track with school and other things while going through this?
Well, they have an academic advisor there, and he works with the kids to do online schooling. And so they either use the high school program from the University of Mississippi, or they use whatever online program the child is currently using through the school that they attend.
All right. They had the ribbon cutting on Tuesday, but they've been open, what, 7 weeks?
7 weeks, yes.
Okay. And did they say how many people they're helping to this point?
I don't have an exact number. I know the houses are pretty small, so I think it's pretty individualized, and I don't think they take too many on at once. But they did say that a lot of their patients now are from out of state, so they'll take anyone from anywhere.
Yeah, the story did note that. They'll take, obviously, people from Mississippi, but like anywhere in the U.S., they'll take people.
Right.
Because, like you said at the beginning, there's just not many options for recovery, or at least for people this age, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
What ages exactly?
It's 12 to 17 for both of the centers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a cool deal there. The Stonewater Adolescent Recovery Center. Where is it located in Oxford exactly?
I can't remember the exact street address right now. But it's off of one of the county roads, so it's a little removed. It's probably about 10 to 15 minutes outside of the actual Oxford town.
Okay.
So.
Well, you're a Mississippi State person. You don't care about
exactly.
Oxford. That's enemy territory for Caitlin. a good story here you can find, again, in Wednesday's Journal and at djournal.com from Caitlin. And you'll see her byline for the next few weeks. What's going on for you after this summer? You done with school yet?
Yes, I am. I've graduated, and so just kind of moving on and seeing where I go after this. So we'll see. But
maybe we'll keep her around.
Yeah, you never know.
That's not my
never know.
That's not my call. She's doing good work for us. Caitlin, appreciate you coming on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, be sure to look for the Two Sports podcast we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. However, we are taking this week off. Gene's got some things to focus on with All Area and the spring sports banquet coming up. And also be sure to check out Double Coverage, Ole Miss and Mississippi State Sports Podcast with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry. New episodes coming to you each Thursday or Friday. The guys providing game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and the Rebels. Listen to that for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com.
Wake up and get ready for your day with the Daily Journal's News Break, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a 5-minute video. Shows will be posted every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. You can watch them for free at any time at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices. Stay informed on the latest happenings in your community in an easily digestible format.
Sounds so professional, Lauren.
That's right.
Pretty good at this.
I know. Should hire me.
Well, when Derek gets back, we just may tell him, sorry. Although I think we tried that before, and he ended up coming back on the show anyway. Uh-huh. But I do appreciate you filling in.
Yeah, of course.
I know you're a busy person.
Happy to.
Yeah. And that's it for this episode. We'll have one Friday, as we normally do. We'll have, I believe, Scott Morris and Jenna Parsons should certainly be here.
Okay.
And, of course, we got Elvis Fest going on this week, so we may talk a little bit about that just because I'm supposed to go. I've got a ticket for Saturday.
Saturday.
I want to go.
Are you going to go Thursday? Music
I'd love
at the mill.
To, yeah. I'd love to. Yeah. But my son has a game. Mm. But
I'm volunteering there. So
nice. Yeah. But Saturday, I want to see J. Roddy Walston and the Business.
Cool.
They're a good band. I like. I hear they're really good live. Mm-hmm. Future Birds is going to be playing as well. I like them. So
yeah.
Really looking forward to that on Saturday. I hope the weather cooperates. It's supposed to rain this weekend. I don't know if they move that stuff inside if it rains or how
I
that
don't
works.
Oh, Elvis Fest is always beautiful.
Yeah.
You know. It's a bummer.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
They said it was supposed to rain all Memorial weekend, and it didn't.
It's Mississippi weather. It could change
True. By
tomorrow. Yeah. So we'll hold out hope for a dry weekend
Yes. There.
So, again, we'll be back on Friday. Let's remind you that you can find this show a variety of ways. We're in iTunes, Google Play, any of your podcast apps. Also, stream it at memo.djournal.com. If you use a podcast app or iTunes, just hit the subscribe button. You'll get notified when we drop a new episode. Also, check us out on Twitter at djournalmemo. Give us a follow. Also, you can find out there when we have new episodes. I'm on Twitter, if you're interested. At Brad Locke. Lauren's on there at Wood, LAU2, right?
Yep. I don't really tweet very much, so.
You're on Instagram. You do more on Instagram.
I love Instagram.
But you have a different handle on Instagram.
Yep.
You want to share it? You don't have to.
LMWood121.
There you go.
It's open. I don't care.
You were saying.
Yeah, I had to get my Twitter back in college, back in like 2007.
Oh yeah, you told me this once, I think.
So that's why it's the same as like my college email, so I had to.
Yeah.
So I had to tweet for class.
They didn't have at Lauren Wood available back then?
I didn't even try that.
See?
Like, because, well, that was in the like internet paranoia days too, of like, do you want your name on everything?
I just went in 08 when I got Twitter. I was like, at Bradlock, it's there.
It's it. Yay. It's fine. Yeah.
Yay.
Well, also, there's a famous singer named Lauren Wood.
Really? I've never heard of her.
Play some of her music right now.
Right now? I don't have it. I don't know if we have the rights
YouTube
to that.
YouTube has it. Oh, yeah, really? It's true. Her name, it's apparently called Fallen. That's the name of her.
I have to go look it up.
Yeah.
Cool. Does she look like you at all?
Nope. I saw her one time.
But that was weird.
In Chicago.
Like in a show?
I think I scared her.
Or did you talk to her?
No. She came off of the Ferris wheel on Navy Pier, and I recognize her.
Crazy.
Because I like Google searched Lauren Wood one time and came across this and was like, who is this like singer? And she has like spiky like red hair.
Yeah.
And it looked, I mean, it's like a very distinct look. Like, so it's not like a.
Yeah.
So I saw her and I was like, oh my gosh, are you Lauren Wood? I like approached her and asked her, are you Lauren Wood? And she was like, yeah. Like so weirded out. And I was like,
you're a singer. You should be used to this.
I'm Lauren Wood too.
Did you take a picture together?
No. But, oh my gosh, that was so fun. I think I would have creeped her even more because she was very much like, who are you? You are crazy?
Yeah, you're Lauren Wood. Okay. Yeah.
Like,
we're all Lauren Wood.
Show you my license? Like, I was very like excited about it, and she was not.
You fangirled out on her, didn't you?
I mean, I met another Lauren Wood.
I would too.
So
I've never met another Brad Locke.
I know.
In fact, there actually, I think there is another one guy with my name around here somewhere.
Really?
Apparently, he's not walked the straightest path legally.
Oh, so your name popped up.
Several years ago, I had to go up to the police station for something just to get a report of some kind. I forget what it was. They initially got me confused with, maybe I had to pay a ticket. They got me confused with another Brad Locke who, like, had an arrest warrant out for him or something.
That's not me.
Not me, dude.
Definitely not me.
No. All right. Again, thank you, Lauren. As always,
no problem.
We'll have you back soon, I hope.
And hopefully, I'll be back.
We'll see y'all on Friday.